Book of Ezekiel in chapter 17. And last week, we said that this chapter puts forth a riddle, which is spoken in the form of a parable. And that parable which was spoken was concerning two great eagles. The first eagle was the most prominent. And that first eagle went up into the high cedar tree and cropped off a branch, a top branch of the high cedar tree, and carried it back into a land of merchants. The second, or the first eagle, also then took a seed of the land and planted it in a fruitful field by waters, flowing waters. A land of a place where it could thrive and it could flourish and it could branch forth and be prosperous. The second great eagle was to give aid to that seed which the first eagle planted and had begun to branch forth, and his branches had reached towards the kingdom of the first great eagle. But then it began to spread its branches toward the second great eagle, and even sent messengers to the second eagle. We also looked at, in the close last week of in verses 9 and 10, of a strong warning that was put forth. And there was a warning concerning that planted seed that spread its branches toward the second eagle. It was a warning of disloyalty to the first eagle. It had entered into a covenant, an oath, with the first eagle, and it broke that oath. It was disloyal in its spreading its branches toward the second eagle. And that was the parable that was spoken, the riddle that was put forth. Tonight, we want to begin to look at the interpretation of the parable, which is given forth to us in verses 11 through 15. So let's read verses 11 through 15 of this 17th chapter of the book of Ezekiel tonight. It said, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying," the word of the Lord came again. "Moreover," it came again unto Ezekiel, "saying, say now to the rebellious house, know ye not what these things mean? Tell them, behold, the king of Babylon is come to Jerusalem and hath taken the king thereof and the princes thereof and led them with him to Babylon, and hath taken of the king's seed and made covenant with him, and hath taken an oath of him. He hath also taken the mighty of the land, that the kingdom might be base, that it might not lift itself up, but that by keeping of his covenant, it might stand. But he rebelled against him in sending his ambassadors into Egypt, that they might give him horses and much people. Shall he prosper? Shall he escape that doeth such things? Or shall he break the covenant and be delivered? The interpretation that is put forth here, once we read the interpretation, verses 1 through 10 make perfect sense to me now. Now that I've read it. Is that not the way it is with a parable that is spoken? Think of the apostles. And Jesus was going about, and a great multitude accompanied him in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. And he spoke in parables. And his apostles took him by the side and said, "Why do you speak in parables to these people?" And the short of it was that Jesus said, "Because unto you it is given to know these things, but unto them it is not given." And so they asked him the meaning. "Please, you've spoken in parables. We don't understand either. Interpret these parables to us." And so, just as he has done here with and telling Ezekiel to interpret the parable, the riddle that was put forth, so Jesus interpreted those parables that they asked him concerning. And the word of the Lord we see now comes to Ezekiel again. I should have looked it up. How many times that the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel? Just in the 16 chapters that we've looked at, and now the 17th chapter to date. And there's, if I'm not mistaken, 31 more chapters to go after this chapter. But the word of the Lord comes to Ezekiel again and tells him to explain the meaning of the parable. It said, "And say to them, know ye not what these things mean?" Well, how can we except some man interpret? Well, and you and I understand that. How can I understand what I read of the Word of God and think of on the Word of God if I don't have one to interpret? And we that are born again, we that are in Christ, we that have the Spirit of God indwelling us, He is our interpreter. And He will give us understanding if we will but ask of Him a meaning thereof. But he says to Ezekiel, he says, you ask them, know ye not what these things mean? Tell them, he says. You tell them what these things mean. It was important that they know that they've been disobedient and the judgment of God has come upon them. God's long suffering has come to an end. He's not going to suffer with them anymore. The chastisement, His judgment, is going to come upon them. So it is a clear picture of what He's telling them. It's a clear picture of God's judgment on Judah. And I know that like in the, well, I know in the last month or two, we have read this chapter on a couple occasions, and then you add to it the three or four times that we have read it previously in the study of the book of Ezekiel. We've got a few times under our belt of reading 2 Chronicles chapter 36, this chapter. But these things are important to us tonight. And I believe the Lord wants us to get hold of it. To get hold of what has happened here to Judah, to Jerusalem. The chosen of the Lord. He wants us tonight, the chosen of the Lord, to know these things, that they might serve as a warning to us not to do likewise. And I know we've talked about it, and we've said concerning Israel, we have said, how many times are we guilty of doing the very thing that they were guilty of? And I want you to see again the long suffering of God in this. And think about how God is so long suffering with us, so merciful with us. Verse 1 of the 36th chapter of 2 Chronicles. Then the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of excuse me. Let's start that over. Then the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and made him king in his father's stead in Jerusalem. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. And the king of Egypt put him down at Jerusalem and condemned the land in 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. And the king of Egypt made Eliakim, his brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem, and turned his name to Jehoiakim. And Necho took Jehoahaz, his brother, and carried him to Egypt. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that with evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Again, against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and bound him in fetters to carry him to Babylon. And you can read Daniel, the first chapter, and see that it was in the third year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar also came of the carried of the vessels of the house of the Lord to Babylon and put them in his temple at Babylon. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and his abominations which he did and that which was found in him, behold, they are written in the book of the Kings of Israel and Judah. And Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his stead. Jehoiachin was 8 years old when he began to reign, and 2 Kings, I think it's chapter 24, tells us he was 18 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And when the year was expired, King Nebuchadnezzar sent and brought him to Babylon with the goodly vessels of the house of the Lord and made Zedekiah, his brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem. Pay attention to these kings, especially these last two kings. They coincide with the 17th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the children of the priests and the people transgressed very much after the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes, and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place, because he had compassion upon them, and on his dwelling place, he rose up early and sent them often messengers to warn them to repent and turn. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. There was no cure. There was no more long-suffering of God. Therefore, he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king, and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God, and brake down the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbaths to fulfill 70 years. 70 years prophesied at the mouth of Jeremiah. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he might made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, "Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah, who is there among you of all his people. The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up." King Nebuchadnezzar was the first great eagle, as we find in back in our text, and in verse 12. "Say not to the rebellious house, know ye not what these things mean? Tell them, behold, the king of Babylon is come to Jerusalem, and hath taken the king thereof, and the princes thereof, and led them with him to Babylon." So Nebuchadnezzar is the first great eagle. He was the one who plucked off the top of the cedar tree, which was Jehoiachin, King Jehoiachin. We read that back in the 36th chapter of 2 Chronicles, how that Nebuchadnezzar came, and after Jehoiachin had been king 3 months, Nebuchadnezzar captured him and took him back to Babylon. So he was the one who plucked off the top of the city, King Jehoiachin. He conquered Jerusalem and carried away captive the king and the princes to the land of merchants, to the land of Babylon. Verse 12, we had read, and hath taken the king thereof, and the princes thereof, and led them with him to Babylon. But before leaving Jerusalem, he set up Zedekiah as king, making him pledge allegiance to him and to Babylon. A vow, shall we say, a vow of loyalty. We read of his setting Zedekiah up as king in the 36th chapter of 2 Chronicles. Here in the 13th verse of our text, he says, and hath taken of the king's seed, of the royal family, of the house of David, the king's seed, and made a covenant with him. He made a covenant with Zedekiah. It goes into more detail here in Ezekiel. In this 13th verse, he made a covenant with him, and hath taken an oath of him. He hath also taken the mighty of the land. Not only carried away into exile the king, but he carried away a large number of the prime, the astute of the tribe of Judah, namely the princes, those of were of the seed royal, those of the house of David. Nebuchadnezzar had carried them into exile, leaders, the astute. This was done to keep Judah, humble, to keep Judah weak, so that they might not rise up, but that they might continue in subjection to the king of Babylon and to the domain of Babylon. We read that in the verse 14 of our text, that the kingdom might be base, that the kingdom might be humble. They wanted the kingdom of Judah to be humble and to not be able to muster up and rise up in rebellion against them, that it might not lift itself up, but that by keeping of his covenant, it might stand as a subject of the kingdom of Babylon. However, after 9 years, that seed that Nebuchadnezzar planted in rich soil, planted by flowing waters, Zedekiah, instead of trusting the Lord, he broke the treaty and sent to Egypt requesting troops and military aid, horses and bands of men, soldiers, fighting men, that he might muster up a rebellion against that first great eagle. That eagle which had planted him to make him flourish, to be a flourishing subject of his, and entered into a covenant with him, but he breaks that covenant. And sought to be delivered from the domain of the king of Babylon. In verse 15 there, God puts forth the, has Ezekiel put forth a question. Shall he prosper? Shall Zedekiah prosper in this endeavor? Well, turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah in chapter 22. In verses 29 and 30, where we read the word of the Lord at the mouth of Jeremiah, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days. For no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. That was the word of the Lord at the mouth of Jeremiah. He's going to render Zedekiah childless. There will be none of his seed to sit upon the throne of David anymore. Nebuchadnezzar captures Zedekiah at the end of his 11 years. He captures him, kills his three sons before his eyes, and then he plucks out Zedekiah's eyes and carries him back to Babylon to spend out the rest of his days in exile. Yes, Zedekiah was rendered childless, with no seed is to set upon the throne. In verse 15 of our text, he said, not only did he ask, shall he prosper? He said, shall he escape? Shall he escape? Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs in chapter 19, and look with me here at verse 5. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. You see, that describes Zedekiah to a T. And you really can pick that up when you read in Jeremiah, the word of the Lord at the mouth of Jeremiah, and you read in Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, and you see how Zedekiah reacted to Jeremiah's words of prophecy that the Lord gave him to speak to Zedekiah. And you see that Zedekiah was a false witness. He was a false witness in the fact that he broke the oath which he had made with the king. We're going to find out next week that not only with the king, but he made it with the Lord. The king had him to swear by his God, by God. We read that in 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Made him to swear. Look at Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah in chapter 32. In verse 4. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape out of the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him mouth to mouth, and his eyes shall behold his eyes. And it's not going to be good. For Zedekiah, the next verse, verse 5 of Jeremiah there, 32, says, and he shall lead the king of Babylon, shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon. And there shall he be until I visit him, saith the Lord. Though ye fight with the Chaldeans, ye shall not prosper. He's not going to prosper. He's not going to escape. Well, we got to quit there tonight. Next week we'll go on and look at, begin with verse 16 through 18, and look at the certain judgment that is to befall upon the king and upon Judah. God had Ezekiel to say, shall he prosper? Shall he escape? Verses 16 through 18, God answers that. And you see the charges that he judges Zedekiah concerning.